Morning, everyone. The first reading can be found in the Old Testament on page 853, Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, the end times. At that time, Michael, the great prince, who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel reading is from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. And in my Bible, that's on page 962. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I've had this image in my mind this week, as I was thinking about coming here, don't misunderstand when I say this, of Horse Whisperer. Do you know? You know a person who has a particular empathy with horses, that's able very gently, through their care, through their attention, through their engagement with them, very gently to lead them, to train them, and to lead them to the sorts of things that people want horses to do for them. And I sometimes, when you get an image in your mind, you think, or I think, now is this one I'm meant to pay attention to, or is this one that I'm meant to be discarding? Is it about me, or is it about something the Spirit is saying? But it stayed with me, and what that then developed into, and it developed as I read the biographies of the short pieces that the six people who were confirming, or God is confirming, I'm just the agent, this morning, and I read those pieces, and And what shone through that was a sense that over a long period of time in people's lives, God has been at work, sometimes more obviously than other times. We can usually see God at work when we look back. God has been at work, and in gentle ways, just gently nudging, signs, people saying something, maybe through the process of our upbringing, but in various ways, God's gently, quietly, patiently working with us. And those six who are being confirmed are representative of all of us. That sense that somehow God is a people whisperer. God is gently, quietly nudging us, not necessarily in dramatic ways, although that happens too, but through those quiet voices we hear, some sort of persistent nagging in us, some persistent sense that maybe this is a decision I need to make, or through something somebody has said, or through some event in our lives. And I want us to kind of hold on to that sense of God being gently, quietly the people whisperer with us, easing us into deeper and deeper life with him. One of the most important things that we can be doing as Christians today is to pay attention to the ways in which we experience God at work in our lives, and to find ways to talk to one another about them. So just as we're going to hear in a moment, two of the confirmands are going to say something about their story. Just as we'll experience that, but find ways in which we can have that conversation together. That's how our faith is built up. That's how, for those of us who are a bit timid about talking about our faith, practice with people whom we know, people who we are a bit more comfortable with. And that whole process, and I encourage people wherever I go to be doing this, because it's one of the ways in which that sense of who God is in Jesus Christ at work in our lives today, one of the ways in which we strengthen that sense so we can then share it with others. But I just encourage you all to find ways, and I'm sure you have ways, but to develop other ways in which you can do that, maybe in the context of worship, maybe that already happens for you, but to find ways just to capture where did I see God at work in my life this week? As I look back over the week, where have I seen God's hand at work? And to do that, to share those stories with one another as a way of building each other up in faith. And that's about where God was at work, where God was in my family, where God is at work in the community. God is at work everywhere. Let's notice, pay attention, and then talk to one another about that. Build up that picture, strengthen ourselves. We've just listened to two quite difficult readings, a passage from Daniel and a passage from Mark. They come from what people who study the Bible will call apocalyptic literature, or types of apocalyptic literature, meaning, as we heard at the beginning of the Daniel reading, the end of times. And we listen to them thinking, now what's that about? What's going on there? And I want to just draw us a little bit into those readings and then come back to what I was talking about in terms of discerning God at work in our lives. The passage from Daniel, interesting, it can be fairly precisely dated when it was written, in the about 164 or so BC. It was written as engaging with the extraordinary events of the challenge to the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, by the Greek rulers of that time. So the Jewish people were oppressed by the Greek rulers. And you've heard, may have heard of the Maccabean Revolt. It's that time that this is about. Interestingly, just a little sideline, in Daniel, it's the first time that angels are named in Scripture, in the Hebrew Scripture. And it's the first time that we see explicit, in the reading we've had, explicit reference to understanding and belief in resurrection. So resurrection wasn't historically, for the Hebrew people, an idea which had currency. It gained currency and a sense of this was a part of reality in the 2nd century BC. So what we've got here is a description of how do we understand God caring for us and being with us in the most challenging times, in the most difficult times. And then you come to the Mark passage, so written 2 centuries later, and you've got something similar. Jesus saying, you'll hear rumours of wars. These are the beginning of the birth pangs. What both of those passages do, when you think about it, is describe a continuous dimension of what the world is like. There have always been wars and rumours of wars. There have always been people trying to oppress one group and or destroy another group. That's part of the appalling nature of human history. And what Scripture is doing for us here is enabling us to see how God is present in those times. And we're told very clearly by Jesus, don't be deterred, don't be pulled away, don't be distracted from your faith in these times. So one of the things that we might be doing when we think, where have we seen God at work in our lives, is to ask, in the turmoil of this last week in this country, where have we seen God at work? Where have we seen God at work in what's been going on in the political world? God is surely at work. There's no area of human life where God is not at work. So we can ask the question, where have we seen God at work? And I want us to think, when we embark on that question, when we think, and we may be sort of caught up in thinking, well, maybe God is on this side or that side or whatever, one of the places we can be absolutely sure of, and Jesus tells us this over and over again, is that God is with those who suffer. God is with the poor, God is with the sick, God is with those who are oppressed. God is with those who have, by virtue of political decisions, are finding themselves in the most difficult circumstances. And part of our response then is to say, how do we work with God in those places? How do we respond to God where there is oppression or prejudice or pain or suffering? How do we engage with God as we see God at work? Now, one of the things that I know you are in the process of doing is setting up a group of people who will visit the housebound, a pastoral group who will provide regular visits for those who cannot express their membership of this community by being physically present with you. And that's part of that response, isn't it? People who are in need, who want to experience Christian fellowship and the grace of communion and hearing scripture with others, to be able to do that with them. Part of the response, and I imagine there may be some of you who are engaged in helping at the night shelter, winter night shelter here in Ipswich. Part of the response, well, you know the ways. There's a whole variety of ways in which we respond to what God is doing, where God is in Jesus, in the lives of those in our communities. Our confirmands today are being an example. They are being a reminder to all of us of what it means to pay attention to God at work in our lives. And they are engaged in all sorts of ways themselves in expressing that. And for this congregation, these congregations, this Christian community, as you work forward discerning God's hand in your life together, part of that's asking, what's God asking us to join in where people are hurting, where people are oppressed, where people are experiencing pain and suffering? And just as we listen to the people whisperer, the God who gently nudges us in this direction, gently makes himself aware of himself, just as we listen, one of the things God is also calling us to is to be people whisperers ourselves. To somehow say to those in our company, those in our friendship, those in our neighbourhood, say through our lives and through our words, this is what God is doing in my life. I want to tell you about that. Gently, sensitively, caringly, so that others too will be drawn to this decision.